Father, we thank you, Lord, and give you praise and give you glory in Jesus' name. Thank you for being in our midst. We welcome you. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We declare that it is indeed a light to our path today. It is a lamp to where we are standing. We declare, Lord, that the entrance of your word will give us that light. Bring that understanding to our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you, Lord, the praise. Especially, Lord, in this world of darkness right now, let that light shine brighter and brighter unto, you know, the perfect day for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you, Lord, the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, inspiration of the Almighty is what brings us increase. Or you can say increase for us in 2025 will come through the inspiration of the Almighty. We spent 2 days on this already, and I gave everyone an assignment yesterday to read a chapter of the Bible. But there is one short story in there that I want to allude to today. And if you read it, well, let's see a show of hands. Well, I read it. I'm going to give myself thumbs up. Anybody read it? I did give the challenge yesterday. I said, read this chapter. And I don't see any thumbs up. So it looks like I'm the only one that read it. That better not be the case. I did ask you to read John chapter 21 yesterday at the end of the lesson. I said that. I said, read it, you know. And anyway, I'm going to read a part of it to us today and a few more stories that I want to read, you know. So let's take a look at John chapter 21. It's a very short story there that I want to talk about, which is, you know, another flavor or aspect of the same story that we've talked about before. You know, so in this John chapter 21, the way that John wrote this is an insight into this topic that we're talking about. Is inspiration. Inspiration of the Almighty is what gives understanding. And sometimes I call it, or oftentimes actually, I call it strategy from the Lord. So there is a short story here about strategy. So let's read it. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. So this was after the resurrection. And on this wise, he showed himself. There were gathered together Simon, Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they also say unto him, we go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. So we've told there's a story that Luke reported in Luke chapter 5. We've told that story many times, but there's this little flavor I want to bring out of here. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered, no, because they caught nothing. So he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. So I want to combine this story with the other one, you know, and just combining. This was the aspect I wanted you to read there, which is why I said read the chapter. It's combining with the one in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, he actually said, launch out into the deep. You know, he said that. And here he said, well, you know, cast your net to the right side of the sheep, and you shall find. And I want to bring a lesson out of the right side. That's the only thing I want to bring out of this story, which is the reason why I said we will read it. So they therefore cast, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So, cast your net to the right side. Now, right side could mean, literally speaking, you know, the boat will have two sides, right? The left side and the right side. Well, it could also mean the correct side. So if either way you take it, there is a lesson in the story, you know, because the other one just says, let out, you know, said launch out into the deep and let out your nets for a draught. Doesn't say which side to put it on. This one said, well, put it on the right side, you know. So I wanted to bring those two things together. You know, this is part of, not only does God and will God and can God give us a, you know, instruction and inspiration, he can actually give you, you know, directions along with that, you know, to help you do it accordingly. You know, now, the right side, I want to give a short lesson on the right side. The right side. What is the right side? You know, so, I mean, God knows. We don't know. It's a good thing to pray a prayer such as this, to say, Lord, you know what the right side is. You know what the right step is that I should take. You know what the right thing that I should do is. You know what the right place that I should be at. You know the right, you know, person that I should bring into my life. You know, if you're trying to get married and all of that, you know, God knows what's the right thing, the right place, the right side, and so on and so forth. We don't. We may think we do, but we don't. Not like the Lord. And so, you know, if we open our hearts to him to give us instruction in that, that's going to go a long way to helping us avoid pitfalls. Now, pitfalls sometimes because we don't have the right instruction, we're not doing or taking the right strategy, and, you know, we may make mistakes, but we can pray that the Lord can help us avoid those mistakes by giving us inspiration and instructions. And when he gives it to you, then you got to do it exactly like he says, you know, so that's what Jesus said here. You know, he said, well, do it again. Two things I always like to bring out, or actually many things that I like to bring out when I tell this story. So many sermons you can preach from just this one little story. One, obviously, is the nevertheless confession that Peter made in Luke chapter 5. Because, you know, that's one sermon by itself. The nevertheless is not, you know, like, look, you know, I've been there, done that, but nothing happening and so forth. And he was discouraged. And they packed in their nets. But he now remembered that this is the master that is speaking. So those nevertheless moments, that's where you bring, you know, I've taught that in this room multiple times. You bring Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 into the picture. And in that verse, it says, the word of God divides asunder the soul and the spirit. That's your nevertheless moment right there. In your soul, you say, well, you know, you're discouraged, you're giving up, and so on and so forth. You know, but in your spirit, you latch on to the word of inspiration from the Lord. Even though it doesn't look like it could be, but your spirit. And so you use that word to divide asunder, you know, put the soul in its place You know, we talked about, you know, many limiting and blocking factors. Well, our emotions, our thoughts, and, you know, what we see with our physical eyes and so forth. Sometimes those could be, you know, distractions and limiting factors. You may see storms around you, you know, and instead of keeping your eyes on the Lord and keep on walking on the water, you start looking at the boisterous waves. Well, you start to sink, you know, so, you know, that's many lessons out of that. That's one lesson, the nevertheless moment. Another lesson is that, well, we talked about launching out into the deep. So that's a lesson also by itself. You know, don't just stay in this place, you know, go for it. Give it all you got, you know, give it all you got. Hallelujah. You know, so that's another lesson just by itself. And then, you know, we see many things, there are many lessons. The other day we talked about, I think it was just yesterday, we talked about, you know, God looking for people who can share the increase. When you have increase, yeah, you know, that's portrayed even in these lessons. When their nets were full and they couldn't get any more, they called to others. Come a particular. So I mean, that's just so many lessons out of this short story. And the part, there's another part that says, you know, do it again. You know, do it again. You know, when you said, look, some of you, the Lord had inspired you to do something before, and because you met obstacles, you gave up. You know, that's human nature. You know, we tend to give up easily when things are not going our way, and we soon forget what the Lord told us, you know, and a lot of things play on our mind. We think that, oh, well, you know, maybe this is not really the right way to go. Well, let me better cut my losses and so on and so forth. That may be so, but is that what God is saying? You know, so there are many lessons here. The lessons, you know, here, the Lord is saying, one other lesson is, do it again. You already went, you failed miserably, all night long, they got nothing. And Jesus said, do it again. You know, this time, you need to listen to that word of inspiration. You got to catch the fire. The fire is in his word. And when he gives it to you like that, my goodness, he said, do it again. And immediately, as I often say, immediately as he said it, all the fish responded. Jesus said in the other place, well, go put your net on the right side and you will find. He said, well, we found nothing. I said, well, put your net on the right side. You got to do it the right way in order for you to find. So there's many, many lessons out of this story. But what I want to point out today, and I'll read you maybe one or more of that stories in the Bible, is the strategy that God will give. Strategy. So listen for that strategy when he gives it and do it exactly right. It could be, you know, comes by inspiration. We talked about inspiration yesterday, how different ways in which it comes. Now let me read to you another story. So that's what I wanted to bring out when I told you to read that chapter, is the right side. The right side, you know, because, you know, and the right way of doing it. We may be doing, you know, it may be the right thing, but we may be on the wrong side. And we may be, you know, doing it the wrong way. And so we have to lean upon the Lord to give us instruction. And we must be ready to follow that instruction. Now, sometimes we don't follow because we don't even understand. You know, so it's not because we don't want to follow. I mean, it would be very sad if the Lord gives us instruction and we don't want to follow. You know, that's very sad. But most times it's not that we don't want to follow. It's that we lean on our understanding and we try to interpret what the Lord is saying a different way, you know, rather than, you know, seeking to make sure we understand what he is saying. And so all of that we want to address in this lesson today. You know, when the Lord says it, do it like he says. There's another story I want to read to you. Well, actually a few a few more stories. I'll see how much time I have. I want to read a story to you here, you know, in the book of, you know, this story about the Jericho in the book of Joshua, chapter 6. I want to read that to you here. Let me just read a few things. Now, Jericho was strictly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out. None came in. They had this wall was, this city was walled and sealed and gated, you know, and so forth. Barricaded, you know. The people were trying to take the place, but they couldn't. Because, you know, I mean, fortified behind the strong walls. And so, well, here's what the Lord said to Joshua. In verse 2 of Joshua chapter 6, the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof." Now, we saw other stories where the Lord said that. "You'd have given to your hand King Sihon. I've given to you this land, you know, over across from the river Arnon." And now all these things, you go in there, begin to possess, contend with him. All these things we have been reading. He says it again here. "I've given into your hand this Jericho." It didn't look like it because the city was fortified. They couldn't even get in there. How in the world are you going to get in there? Well, you couldn't. And there's this high walls, and these strong walls were so thick. And, well, and the Lord gives strategy. That's what we're calling out of this story. Strategy of how to do it. He said, you know, "Giving you all of them, their king, their mighty men of valor, everything. But here's how you're going to do it. You shall compass the city, all ye men of war. Go round about the city once, and then, you know, do it for 6 days." You know, and Joshua is thinking, possibly, going around the city, well, there's only one entrance. What are we going around it for? You know, but they can't kick it down. They can't rush through it because it's so thick and so fortified. And behind the walls, you know, you just can't get in there. The people who are behind the walls, they feel secure because they know the walls are protecting them. It's just no one can break through there unless they open the gates, and they're not opening the gates. You know, so he said, "Well, this is what you do." And, you know, he also gave him additional instructions. 7 priests shall bear ark, you know, before the ark, you know, go 7 trumpets, ram's horns, and then on the 7th day you shall compass the city. So for the first 6 days, you go around the city one time each day, and you know, that's how you do it. And then on the 7th day, you go around the city, I mean, the walls around the city, 7 times. I mean, so you see these specific instructions. Now, there are some theories, you know, that people try to bring even the scientific theory out of, you know, the, you know, what was happening there. You know, I'll leave that one alone. But, you know, the, what I do know is what the Lord said. And, but, you know, he said, "Well, go around it." When you do go around it, well, on, when you're doing that on the 7th day, let the priests blow their trumpets. Now, they had the trumpet with them all along, but they were instructed not to blow anything on the first 6 days. Now, on the 7th day, they're going to blow the trumpet. They're going to make a long blast, he said. "Now, when you shall hear the sound of the trumpet, the people will shout with a great shout." You know, "and the wall of the city shall fall down flat." You know, and then you can go in, you know, and do, you know, the take over the place. Hallelujah. Now, maybe there was something the Lord was doing, some reverberation the Lord was bringing to the blowing of trumpets. Maybe there was something he was weakening by their going around the place many times. We don't know. You know, people, there's a lot of conjecture that I've heard about that over the years. But whatever the case is, you know, I know that, you know, God doesn't even have to lift a finger. He can just tell that wall to fall, and it could fall. But he gave them instruction of what to do. And so, well, Joshua called unto them, the priests, and he gave them instruction. Now, we got to be careful when the Lord gives instruction to one person and then he's going to transfer that instruction to others. There may be something lost in the translation. You got to be careful. You know, be careful to say it. Add not to his words, lest he reprove thee. You know, be careful to say it like he said it. Don't leave anything out or add to it, because, you know, you might bring upon yourself a disappointment if you do that. You got to do it like he said. So Joshua gave them instructions, and he told them, you know, to do it just like, you know, the Lord told him. And again, he told them, look, don't blow anything. Just go around it until I tell you to blow. You know, he said, Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then you shall shout. So Joshua, he gave them the instruction. Go around it. Don't do anything. Don't say anything. But the Lord didn't tell them to say anything. So Joshua said, yeah, just do it. Do it the way the Lord said. You know, and then when I tell you, you know, Joshua is waiting for something, you know, to see what the Lord had already told him. He's waiting to make sure the steps are completed like the Lord told him. And then you are going to shout when I tell you to shout. You know, so the ark of the Lord compassed the city. You know, they go on about it once. They came and then suffer. Then they will go in and lodge in the camp. And then they come back in the morning. You know, then they did exactly as the Lord said. The priests went before and so on and so forth. You know, and afterwards, you know, the ark, the priest going on, the ark, and so on. And on the seventh day, they did as the Lord said. They compassed and so forth. And they returned to the camp and did 6 days. And on the seventh day, they rose in the dawning, compassed the city, same manner, seven times. Only on this day, they did it seven times. And it came to pass on the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, now shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. That was a song we played today. Shout unto the Lord, you know, all the earth. You know, they shouted. It was a victory shout or a war shout. You know, they shouted. And something dramatic happened. Praise the Lord. When they shouted, it came to pass, you know, that Joshua told them, the Lord has given you the city. And they shouted. Enter into the city, he said, all that, you know, you can do. There's only one person you are going to save. Remember that harlot Rahab that helped the spies when I sent them over there? And they told him her what to do, put a scarlet ribbon at the window, you know, and so forth. And everyone that in your house, bring them inside and keep them there. But if they are out, that's on you. Their life is on you. But if they are in, their life is on us. And we will keep this oath between you and us, you know, and you do it. They told the harlot at that time that helped the spies. And so Joshua remembered and said, well, the only person that you look for the house that has this scarlet scarf, you know, on the window, and don't touch that house. Leave that house alone. But everything else, bring it down. You know, and there's another story on that one, but let me leave that for today. You know, and then he told them what to do. You know, but he also warned them, see. This is a long story, but many things that the Lord told them what to do and told them what not to do, you know, and they did what the Lord told them to do and they did what the Lord told them not to do for the most parts. And I said, don't touch the accursed thing, you know, the Lord will give you the blessing, but, you know, don't put your hand to the accursed thing. Stay away from it. You know, you don't need the accursed thing for the blessing of the Lord. You know, don't mix all of that together. thou shalt not sow mingled seed in thy field. You know, don't do it. Stay with the truth. You don't need to bring in, you know, any things of the world and mix it all up together. That's, you know, that's not it. Stay with it. Don't stay with the word of God. Don't touch the accursed thing. Well, the accursed thing in their case was the idols of the people. You know, they used to, you know, those, you know, heathen nations had different idols they would keep in their tents and their houses, and they would worship those things and so forth. So call the accursed thing. Don't touch it, the Lord said. And Joshua told him, you know, and they went, and the city, the wall fell, just like the Lord said, and they were able to go in there, and they demolished everything, and slew people with the edge of the sword, did this and did that, and saved their life, the Halod and everyone that was in his house, I mean her house, and they carried away a lot of things, and so forth. But ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, you know, someone did the wrong thing, which we're told not to do. And that's another story. You know, but Joshua told them, look, we're going to demolish this place. We don't even want this place to be built again. Demolish it completely. Take no prisoners. And finish everything off. But that's what the Lord told them. And for the most part, you know, they did that. Praise the Lord. But you can see the strategy that the Lord gave them. So the people shouted, we're told, when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the shout, and they shouted with a great shout that the wall fell flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed that which was in the city, both man and young, woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, and the edge of the sword, slew everybody. You know, and except for the Halot, they said, look, go into the Halot's house and bring out hence the woman and all that she had, even as we swear unto her, and save her alive before you destroy anything. You know, let no one lay a finger on her. And he kept the oath. And so they went in, they took Rahab, her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, they brought her out alive. You know, and then they went in and burnt the city down. Now, this Rahab has a story, you know, you never know what God is going to do and who God's going to use. She actually was a great, 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 great grandmother of the Christ. She's in Jesus's genealogy, although she was called a harlot, you know, and God can use just about anything and anybody. You never know who he will use, so you don't despise anybody. And no life, you know, should be destroyed. You know, some people destroy lives, you know, when they are pregnant and so forth like that. You know, that's a thing that the Lord hates. You know, abortion and all that stuff. Because you didn't put the baby there. You can't do it. You don't know who they are going to be. And even when they come out in their lives, they may not be doing the right thing. You don't know what they're going to do. And you let the Lord's will be done in every one of his creation. He's the only one that has the right to make alive and to kill. He does that. Nobody else has that. God will bring all those people that do that into judgment. Now, they followed strategy. And they got the victory. So you can see how important it is for us to always follow strategy. Now, I'm going to show us a few more stories, you know, of people that also followed, you know, strategy. The strategy, you know, when God said do this and they would do it, if they did it right, well, and they got the blessing. When Moses was faced with Pharaoh coming against them at the Red Sea, the Lord told him, to stretch forth his rod over the sea. And he gave him how to do it. And that's God got him the victory. There was instruction that came to him. Father, the Lord said, why are you here standing, you know, crying to me and so forth? What's in your hand? And he gave him exact instruction on what to do. Well, stretch forth your hand this way. And he did. You know, and then the waters rolled by. My goodness. And then later when the Lord had removed the pillar of fire and the Pharaoh's chariots and horses came charging in, the Lord waited until they were right in the middle of the Red Sea where there was no place to go. They couldn't go quickly to the other side, either side. They couldn't return quickly enough to the bank or proceed quickly enough to the one ahead of them. They were right in the middle. And God told Moses, stretch your hand over them again, over the waters again, and let the waters come crashing down. And he did. But he had to follow the instructions that God gave. Time to time, give them instructions of how to do it. You know, even when he was in Egypt, all the signs and things, God would tell him the instructions, you know, put the rod, use it to touch the water of the Nile, and the whole thing would turn to blood, and so on and so forth. There's always instructions, you know, of how the Lord gave him how to do it. And sometimes, you know, detailed instructions would come from the Lord in things that are significant. In the building of the temple, detailed instructions. In various constructions that God gave him, Noah, detailed instructions. You got to follow the instructions the way that the Lord gives them. And the Lord will tell you what to do. Because he wants us to do these things the way he instructs us. I've also said to the people that, look, the Lord will show you where to find the wood and the cedars and so forth, but you're going to have to build the ark. The Lord's not building the ark. The Lord could have built the ark, but he did not. And there's a lesson in that as well. You know, but he did show him where to get wood and so on and so forth. And it took him a long time, 120 years. And God was patient. You know, he had to finish that assignment of building the ark. And, you know, there were many times that, you know, there was a struggle. But, you know, he had to keep doing it. And when it was done, then Lord gave him additional instructions. You know, how to bring the animals. And then he gave him more instruction. How the animals you auditioned before him. And before he did that, he put some anointing upon Noah like he did to Adam. First time. That all the animals, by this time, actually, the animals were all wild. In the case of Adam, the animals were all docile. None of them was wild because the glory of God was on Adam. And everything just behaved. No wild animals, no wild plants, nothing. Everything was beautiful in its time until the fall came. And when the glory left Adam, because they looked to Adam and they were enlightened. You know, there was no instruction, there was no glory, there was no aura oozing out of him anymore like he did. And so everything got wild, it became rebellious. God never created any wild animals or wild plants and so forth. You know, it was corruption, you know, that brought it in. Because, you know, when he created it, it was all beautiful. But, you know, God restored something amazing to Noah. He restored the dominion. Even though they were all wild at that time, you know, the lions and the, you know, cougars and the tigers and the hyenas, they had become wild by that time. But they all obeyed Noah. God brought them one by one. And Noah said, all right, you line up one female, one this and that. And he chose as God gave him and sent all the rest back. Isn't that amazing? The amount of dominion and authority like that God gave him, but he followed the instructions two by two. You know, he had to follow the instructions. When he got into the ark, gave him instructions too, what to do, where so forth. He followed the instructions. Inspiration is what saved his life. Inspiration of the Almighty. Instructions. Not only for increase, instruction for protection and so forth. You know, God will give us instruction. We got to follow it exactly. There are many, many more stories like that throughout the Bible. Nehemiah, when he was building, rebuilding Jerusalem and so forth, instructions, you know, on the one hand, you know, they were building this way. On the other hand, they had the sword, you have to fight, you know. Just because you're doing the thing that the Lord told you to do doesn't mean that you're not going to have opposition. In fact, that's the very reason why you have opposition. So, you know, this year you're going to have opposition, but you already have the victory. This thing is wired in such a way, you know, some people say rigged. Well, it's wired in such a way that you will win. All you have to do is follow the instruction. God said, you go in and begin to possess, but you will have to contend, you know. So that means there's going to be, maybe, you know, some people say giants along the way or this and that, whatever, but you are going to win. Just have to follow instruction. Don't be discouraged by the things that come up against you. No, you got to move. You know, a lot of people lose grounds because of discouragement. The devil knows how to do that too. He used that tool, powerful tool in his hand. Number one, A1 tool. You can know how to do it. Discourage you. You know, so that you can't go for that. I mean, Elijah was discouraged. He said, look, I've done all these things here. The people, they will not turn to the Lord. They're trying to kill me. You know, I wish to die. I don't want to continue. I'm not better than my fathers. You know, seemed like the wall came crashing down around him. But when he had an encounter with that voice, everything changed. He wasn't running from anybody anymore. Hallelujah. You know, that voice would change everything. Yeah, but you got to hear that voice. All of that he did was just everything, the run around, run away, and the earthquake, the wind, the fire, and so forth, was so that he could get to the voice. When he got the voice, he got instructions. After that, it's not running from anybody. You can send armies of 50. It was one woman I was running from before, but this time around, you can send anybody. It doesn't matter. He's not running anymore. Hallelujah. Call fire down and so on. Praise the Lord. I mean, David went up against Goliath. You know, and the king tried to protect him, gave him, you know, his own very armor, tried to put it on David. David couldn't even move. I mean, this armor was, you know, heavy for him. And he said, look, I'm not used to this thing. I haven't tried this thing before. I don't feel comfortable with this stuff. Well, the king said, well, you're going to need it to go out again. Look at the man. See how big he is. Look at his sword and look at everything. And he's a man of war. You are just a youth. You know, if you're going to die at all, you're going to have to be protected. He tried it, but he said, no, I can't do that. You know, give me some time. So he goes away. He goes to this place, you know, it's a place. Ha, Harabo Shalina. He went to the place. You know, he knew that place. You know, it was right around the streams, you know, where he would say, he leaded me beside the still waters, you know, went back to that place. And the Lord gave him inspiration, you know, and that was the place, you know, of where, you know, he had a place, had a secret place. I said, well, I'm going to go back to that place. That's where I'm comfortable with the Lord. I understand the place of strength in the Lord, quiet, still waters, and went back to the brook. And the Lord showed him 5 smooth stones to pick. My goodness. You're going to go up against a man of war with shield, with armor, with everything. And you're going to take, you know, a sling, catapult, and stones. I mean, who does that? You can't do that. You can't win again. You can't win. I mean, they looked at him when he came back and said, you can't do it. So remember what I told you? The Lord who delivered the lion and this and that, the Lord, he would do it for me. The lion, he came and took my, he told him when, told the king when he was first standing before the king, look, and the king said, he can't do it. He said, the lion, I was watching my father's flock one day, the lion came. I wasn't paying attention, took one of the things, you know, kids, and ran away with it. You know, and I went after him. You went after the lion. You know, yeah, I sure did. And I got into a hand-to-hand combat with him, and I got that which was mine. You can't take anything when I'm watching the street. You did that? So I sure. And that's not all. You know, another time a bear came up against the flock, you know, and took, and you say, you know, what happened in that case? Well, I went after him again. And when that bear rose up against me, he was like this Goliath, you know, he looked just like him. I took him down. I'm going to take this one down as well. See, God prepared him for that too. You know, because when those bears, those grizzly bears and so forth, when they stand up, you know, normally they are crouched over on four, you know, legs. But when they stand up like that and pound their chest, they can be like 8 feet tall or something. And you say, well, you know, I've seen something like this man's height. It's not bother me at all. So he went up against him. The inspiration of the Almighty led him to pick out the stones. And he took one stone only. Right? The inspiration of God. The Lord, of course, guided his hands. One small place in the man's armor that was open, right between his eyes. Woohoo! You know, bullseye from the angel of the Lord directed that. And you know the rest of the story. But all inspiration comes from the Lord. You know, we got to trust in God's plans when we're seeking for guidance. We got to trust in him. You got to utilize the God-given, you know, grace that is inside of you and the strength and so forth. You know, and some of the things. Now, God doesn't play dice with our lives, you know, just waste our lives. Now, everything that's in your past, you know, your failures and whatever, God's using them for the present and what's ahead of you. And some of you might remember our series, Can You Smell What the Lord's Cooking? And I said, look, you know, all the things that God will mix up the good, the bad, your experiences, your failures, you know, your background, your successes. I mean, everything, you know, that's happened to you, mix it all up. That's what the chef does. You take a little dash of this, a little dash of that, a little this and this. You know, some of it, you know, by, you know, individually, it don't taste very well. In fact, some of them taste nasty, all those ingredients. But when it's put together in the right measure, you know, that chef, he knows what he's doing. Put everything together in the right measure. You can smell the aroma long ways ago, you know, but he's cooking it. You got to wait for it. You can't get it before it's done. But he'll put all these things together. It's not, you know, some is salt, some is pepper, some is this, some is that, some is bitter, some is sweet. Put it all together. And that's the same thing with our lives, you know. Oh, everything that's in you, you know, God doesn't, look, the lion and the bear prepared him for Goliath. He didn't know Goliath was coming, but prepared him for it, especially that bear. Because when that bear rose up again, it was as tall as Goliath, perhaps even taller. And they said, well, I've seen that before. I said, well, you can't go against that. So, well, says who? I've seen that before. And he did. And he got the victory. But he followed inspiration and followed, you know, instruction. And we need to learn how to also, there's a story, you know, in First Chronicles chapter 14. Let me read that story to you. When the Philistines heard that David was anointed as king, well, they came out against him. You know, came out against him one time, they came out against him again. And, you know, the Lord, you know, with one thing with David was the Lord, he knew how to inquire from the Lord. See? And when they would go come against him, David inquired of the Lord. So let's read the story. First Chronicles 14. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Verse 9. And David inquired of the Lord, you know, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will I deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said, go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. And so they went up and David smote them. because the Lord said so. You know, and but these Philistines, you know, they are like whack-a-mole. You know, you can't get rid of them, you know, because of one defeat. You whack them here, they spring up in another place, you know. So they, you know, David really did whack them, but they went and regrouped themselves. They said, you know, quit ye like men, be strong, and so forth. And they regrouped themselves. They came back. And they came back against David a second time. Well, the Bible said, and yet, you know, I mean, verse 13, Philistines yet again came back against David. And David inquired again of the Lord. See, now this is a perfect example of always trusting the Lord for guidance and not leaning on your understanding or thinking you know the answer because of some answer God gave you before. The answer he gave you last time may not be the answer this time. You got to seek him again for instructions. And surprising enough, well, the Lord gave him a different answer this time. And shall I go up? Will I deliver them into my hand? The Lord said, no, you will not go up. You know, but, you know, here's how you're going to do it this time around. And God gave him instruction, gave him a different strategy. Because, see, the way you went up last time, you know, they're expecting you the same way. And they figured it out. So you're going to go, you're going to do it this way this time. But you see, the real lesson is that David inquired again from the Lord whether he should go up like the last time. You know, so, you know, God is not a one-way traffic. I mean, everything, you know, the way he told you last time is the way he told you this time. No. You know, you have to take daily instruction from the Lord. And he can tell you something yesterday, he can tell you something different today. You just have to follow the leading of the Lord. So this is all about inspiration and God leading us. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, we read a powerful, powerful story about Elijah the Tishbite, a rustic figure from the wilderness. Come out there and he said, well, you know, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except by my word. He just locked up the heaven, put a key in his pocket and walked away. Powerful man, a mysterious figure. Nobody knew anything about him until he showed up. And he just locked everything up. But he himself, you know, had to follow instructions from the Lord. He himself would suffer from the no rain thing, but the Lord would make provision for him. So the Lord told him, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook that I commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Now he went and did according to the word of the Lord. See, that is so key. You got to do according to the word of the Lord. That's the inspiration. Inspiration is when God tells you or gives you insight into something that nobody else knows or you couldn't have known by yourself. And the ravens, that's right, brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and drank of the brook. You know, there's another lesson in there as well. Many lessons in this story. Lesson about ravens, which were one of the condemned birds, and God can use that. Lesson about the meal size that he ate. How much can the ravens carry? Lesson about the number of times that he can eat and God wanted him to eat. Many lessons there, many stories, but let me leave those alone. But it came to pass. And here's another powerful lesson in the story. It came to pass because there had been no rain. Now remember, Elijah is the one that called the rain, and that's going to catch up with him too. Because even God said, look, go to this place, you know, we drink from that water and I'll send you food. And he did. And it was so. But after a while, because there had been no rain, see, the brook itself dried up. And the Lord said to Elijah, you know, the brook is now dry. Praise the Lord. Now, there may be times when the brook is dry. But wait for the Lord to tell you that, you know. Wait for the Lord to tell you that. So the Lord told him. He said, well, this time around, God, the book is dry. He said, well, now get up I'm going to give you a different instruction. You're going to do something now. Different than what you did last time. And I often ask people a question. The Lord that sent him ravens to bring him food and gave him, sent the fire and all these things, although at that time he was yet to experience even more things, could not the Lord have, could not the Lord have caused the brook to not dry? He hadn't experienced the fire and all these things then, but the Lord who can do all those things, could not he have caused the brook to not dry up? He could have, but he didn't. So there are some times when the Lord will lead that way as well. The Lord may show you a different instruction today than he inspired you a few months ago. But you got to know that it was the Lord, not just your mind, not just because you are discouraged. When the Lord tells you it's time to move, then it's time to move. Elijah could have stayed there rebuking the brook from being dry. And he rebuked the brook, And that's what many of us would have done. The Lord sent me over here to the brook. No way this brook is drying. You spend nights praying, blasting in the Holy Ghost and so forth. Well, the Lord will just be looking. The brook is dry. And something new I want you to do now. Forget it. But, if we don't know, if we don't know how to discern the moment, then we'll miss out. And God was going packaging two for one. Not only was he going to sustain Elijah, he could have sustained Elijah by the brook. He did already for, a long time. But there was somebody else's life that the Lord wanted to save. That widow woman, she probably been praying. She was about ready to give up and die. She didn't know it. Elijah didn't know it at first. But God created and put together what I call divine appointment. Set two people together that didn't know nothing about it. Elijah finally figured it out. But before he did, he didn't know it. And the Lord didn't even tell him everything. Just said, well, go to such and such a place and you find somebody. And the woman herself knew nothing about it. But yet God said, I have prepared this widow woman to sustain you. But the widow woman never heard about him. And he got there and she gathering a couple of sticks. Elijah says to her, well, can you get me something to drink? And as you're going, can you fetch me a little cake so I can eat? The woman said, well, I have nothing. I'm preparing even my last meal right now. I'm going to wrap my hands around my son. We're going to die after eating this meal. That's it. You know how it's been. There'd be no rain and everything, for so many years. Elijah said, don't be afraid. Nobody's dying today. Not today. Nobody's dying. You just go do as the Lord said. As you said in your heart, you go do what you said, but you bring me something first. For thus saith the Lord. Now, here comes the inspiration. Now, that prophetic word, it changes everything, every time. But Elijah, he had to follow instruction. He had to get up and go to Zarephath. And Jesus even talked about this story. He said, look, were there not many widows in Israel at the time? How come the Lord did not send Elijah to those widows? And send him all the way to Zidon and so on. Yeah, look, the Lord told him. That story. But Elijah had to follow the lessons. So there are many stories like that throughout the Bible. I just wanted to call out a few more to add to our lesson of do it like the Lord said. The classic story of Jesus, and the little boy's lunch and the other places, told so many places in the Gospels, and how Jesus took the little boy's lunch and blessed it, put it back in the hands of the disciples. In one place, he actually told them, gave them a strategy, put them in 50s and companies. Because, after you feed the first 50, you're going to have to keep believing. you got to have to keep believing because you got to keep on believing in order for the supply to keep on being present. If you stop believing, the thing might just dry up. Because all that Jesus did was break the bread, you know, break the fishes. Not very difficult to do that. It was only 12 people that he had to divide that among. That wasn't very hard. You know, I'm sure every one of us here can take a piece of bread and divide it into 12. Nothing very hard about that. You can take a piece of fish, divide it into 12. There's nothing very hard about that. You know, took the first bread, took the second, and so forth. All five of them. You know, then he also took the fishes and divided them. That's nothing very hard in that. But he put something upon the bread and the fish. He put the anointing of increase upon it. And he put it back in the hands of the apostles. Hallelujah. And Jesus, he told them, you know, to put the people in 50s, he said, and set them on the grass, and then feed them. Ooh, you know, and you've got to do it exactly like the master said. If he says, sit them in 50s, you cannot sit them in 100s or some other number, you know. You got to do it just like the master said. And that's how the miracle occurred. But bear in mind, you know, as I often tell people, you know, there's this story that's in almost all the gospels. Every gospel recorded some version of Jesus so-called feeding the multitudes. You know, and Jesus one time was asking them when he told them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and they thought he was talking about bread, said, bread, you know, I mean, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, how many baskets you took of this one and that one, how many baskets you took of? So he did this multiple times. But in Matthew chapter 14, Mark chapter 6, Luke chapter 9, John chapter 6, we see interesting concepts of these things. You know, so if you put all these stories together, you'll find especially the one in Mark 6, verses 39 to 42. He told them to, you know, sit in companies of 50 and so on. But the key lesson here is that Jesus put the, blessed the thing, the food, and put it back in the hands of the disciples, and the disciples gave to the crowd. Jesus himself did not feed the multitudes at all, you know, but he gave, he put a blessing and he gave instruction, and then he walked away. It was done. So ladies and gentlemen, there's increase coming, but it's going to increase in your hands. Have you ever thought of this? The food, the bread and the fishes did not multiply in the hands of Jesus. All he did was bless it. You know, because it's no miracle to break a piece of bread into 12. But he put something in it, some invisible substance that was going to carry that thing until the mission was fulfilled, as long as they kept believing. Now, in the hands of Peter, Andrew, James, John, and Philip, and the rest of them, was where the bread and fish were actually multiplying out of their hands. Not out of the hands of Jesus, but out of the hands of the apostles, the disciples. They were the ones that fed the multitude. And it was increasing their hand. And they, I mean, you could have imagined their surprise, delight, their amazement, whatever. A combination of emotions. As they were feeding and they were saying that, I mean, all I had was something that was in my palm and I gave, you know, I dished it out. And yet, there was nothing diminished. And you dish out some more. And yet nothing was diminished. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I'm, you know, I've got 50 people to feed here. You finish feeding 50 and then still nothing diminished. Now that's partnering with God in the art of creation. by your faith, but following his instruction, the inspiration that came. And Jesus said, you feed them. So, well, how in the world are we going to feed these people? So, well, what you got? He said, we only have this little. Jesus said, well, it is enough. And now he gave a strategy. Give them a strategy. Set them up like this and like that. You know, and there might have been a way, and many lessons we could tell about that. And the way I set them in 50s, because, you know, first you got to be organized, well organized. And you got to do it, you know, strategically. And if you just try to go randomly around the people, you don't know. I mean, it's all confused. And God's not the author of confusion. So set them up in 50s. Deal with this one and move on to the next one. You got to keep believing, though. Keep moving. Keep doing it. And Jesus, you know, the word of God will bring continuous supply. As long as you keep on believing, the barrel of meal will not waste. The cruse of oil will not fail. Same woman, same thing with the pot of oil with the woman. God put it. Prophet put an increase on it prophetically. All she had to do is go do what the man said. You know, lock yourself in the room, get this one and set it aside. And get the next one and put it in and set it aside. She had to do it exactly like the man said. An increase came for her by following the inspiration that was given to her. Praise the Lord. Well, that's it. I'm going to wrap it up there. Wanted to tell us these stories, but the inspiration came to me as a speaker. One speaker I was speaking yesterday, the inspiration came to me and I said, wow, you know, the story about the right side came back into my mind. You don't see that in the account in Luke, but you see in the account in John. You got to put all those stories together. And it occurred to me that, look, you've got to do things the right way of the Spirit of God. The way that he's showing you. You know, not the way, you know. I read a story one time that somebody was saying that there was a way, you know, that these people used to go down that particular place. And because of the setting of, you know, the stream and the this and that, they always used to cast their boat, their net on the left side. And this time Jesus was telling them to cast on the right. Well, I can't verify that story. I don't know if that's the case or not. What I do know is Jesus did say, cast your net on the right side and you will find. And for me, the instruction the Holy Spirit is giving out of that is that there is a message out of the right side. You got to be in the right place. You got to do things the right way. And the Lord will show you that way. And if he's showing you something and you don't quite get it, ask him again. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to say the word of God, that God has already revealed. I'm going to pray over people in the room today. There are some of you today that the Lord is saying, do it again. That's right. Because you were discouraged. The last time you tried, you failed, or you thought you failed. So the thing didn't work. To me, I don't accept failure until you quit. When you quit is when you failed. As long as you're still trying, you haven't failed yet. Because you don't know if the next one is going to be successful. So you haven't failed yet. But once you quit, then you have failed. So God might have put something into your hands before and you quit because of discouragement, because the thing wasn't fruitful. Well, that may be so. God may tell you the brook is dry and move on. And we've seen that lesson. But we've also seen lessons where there's all kinds of discouragement along the way, but God said, keep fighting and keep contending. So which one is it going to be? How do I know whether the brook has dried and I got to move on, or whether this is a test of will, whether I should hang in there and believe the Lord, or whether the Lord is looking to see what I would do, or even the devil is coming against me? How do I know all these things? I mean, it's because you can interpret it any which way you want. It could be that the brook is dried and the Lord wants you to move on, or it could be that the devil is the one that come up against you to frustrate you. I mean, how do you know which one it is? Well, ask the Holy Spirit. That's the thing. The Holy Spirit is the instructor, is the governor. He will show you. He will show you things to come. He will show you the next steps. John chapter 16 and 13 say the Holy Spirit is a master at showing what's next. That's things to come. It's not just prophetically what's going to happen globally in the world that the Holy Spirit will show you. You know, because people think that when he's saying that, it means, well, you know, what's going to happen, you know, in the world. You know, no, not just that. What's going to happen in your life? What are the next steps? Things to come. What are the next step? What's the next step? What's the next step? What's the next step? We'll show you. And if indeed the brook is dry and the Holy Spirit is telling you the next step is get out of there. Well, he'll tell you too. But if it is the devil that's blocking you to try to discourage you, the Holy Spirit will show it to you too. But lean not, according to Proverbs 3 and 5, do not lean on your own understanding. But trust him. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. Father, I pray for your children that are in the room here today. We heard this lesson once. We heard it twice. We've heard it three times now. I pray, Lord, that you inscribe it into our hearts to know what the Spirit of God is saying. Inspiration that God is giving us to get us the increase this year. I pray that you give us discernment. Discernment in the moment when the brook is dry, whether it is dry because the Lord wants us to move, or whether it's dry because the devil came up against it to dry it up to frustrate us. I pray that the Lord will give us the wisdom. Lord, give you the wisdom. And the Lord is saying, do it again. Go back out there. You've washed up the nets. You packed it up. The Lord said, go back out there and do it again. But this time, cast your net over on this side. Hallelujah. On the right side. You got to do things the right way. I pray that this message is inspiring the heart of some. You know your situation. The Lord knows it even better. And you know how this world affects you. May the Lord help everybody. Our goal and hope is to be an encouragement. Be a lifter up. When your hands are weak and your head is bowed down, the Lord said there is a lifting up. And God is bringing that increase this year. But it's coming by inspiration. May the Lord continue to give us the grace to understand what the Spirit of God is saying. We have perfect understanding. When we see, when we hear, it is so that we may understand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for the increase, Lord, that's coming. Testimonies are coming. People are already giving testimonies. I heard a testimony at church yesterday from one of our sisters here. I said, you know, something that just keeping her up all night concerning one of her children. Two nights before or the night before, was settled. Something that's been lingering for a long time. Ah, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for testimonies such as these. And things that have lingered, God will suddenly settle them. God be the glory. And things that have been dormant and not producing, God will suddenly give inspiration for increase. Hallelujah. And I come against the spirit of, procrastination. The spirit of slumber, the spirit of folding of the arms, the spirit of discouragement, come against them in the name of the Lord. I cover the people's minds with prayer today. I cover your minds with the anointing of God. That your minds will be strong. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his mind. You rise up and take your journey, he said. Contend, and the Lord will give you the victory. Give the Lord the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.